He slapped her on the cheek, the sound echoing from the high roof. "Don't you be so bloody impudent, girl. I asked you a question. What have you been doing?" Marie glared at him, feeling the heat grow in her stinging cheek, refusing to rub it. "What's next, Daddy? Will you take your belt to me, or are you just going to use your fists?" Gerald Skibbo's jaw dropped. People on the nearby cots were turning over, peering at them blearily.
"Do you know how late it is? What have you been up to?" he hissed.
"Are you quite sure you want a truthful answer to that, Daddy? Quite sure?"
"You despicable little vixen! Your mother's been fretting over you all night. Doesn't that even bother you?"
Marie curled her lip up. "What tragedy could possibly happen to me in this paradise you've brought us to?" For a moment she thought he was going to strike her again. "There have been 2 murders in the port this week," he said. "Yeah? That doesn't surprise me."
"Get into bed," Gerald said through clenched teeth. "We'll discuss this in the morning."
"Discuss it?" she asked archly. "You mean I get an equal say?"
"For fuck's sake, can it, Skibbo?" someone shouted. "We want to get some sleep here."
Under the impotent stare of her father, Marie pulled her shoes off and sauntered over to her cot. Quinn was still dozing in his sleeping bag, struggling against the effects of the rough beer he had drunk in Donovan's, when someone gripped the side of his cot and yanked it through 90 degrees. His arms and legs thrashed about in the sleeping bag as he tumbled onto the floor, but there was no way he could prevent the fall. His hip smacked into the concrete first, jarring his pelvis badly, then his jaw landed. Quinn yelled out in surprise and pain.
"Get up, Ivet!"
a voice shouted. A man was standing over him, grinning down evilly. He was in his early 40s, tall and well-built, with a stock of black hair and a full beard. The brown leather skin of his face and arms was scarred with a lunar relief of pox and the tiny red lines of broken capillaries. His clothes were all natural fabric. A thick red and black check cotton shirt with the arms torn off, green denim trousers, lace-up boots that came up to his knees, and a belt which carried various powered gadgets and a vicious-looking 90-centimeter steel machete. A silver crucifix on a slim chain glinted at the base of his neck. He laughed in a bass roar, as Quinn groaned at the hot pain in his throbbing hip, which was too much. Quinn grappled with a seal catch at the top of the bag. He was going to make the bastard pay. The seal opened, his hands came out, and he kicked his legs, trying to shake off the constricting fabric. Somewhere around the edges of his perception, the other Ivets were shouting in alarm and jumping over the cots. A huge damp jaw closed around his right hand, completely around, sharp teeth pinching the thin skin of his wrist, their tips grating between his tendons. Shock froze him for a horrific second. It was a dog, a hound, a fucking hellhound. Even a sace would have thought twice before taking it on. The thing must have stood a meter high. It had short, grizzled grey fur, a blunt hammerhead muzzle, jowls of black rubber wet with gooey saliva. Big liquid eyes were fixed on him. It was growling softly. Quinn could feel the vibration all the way along his arm. He waited numbly, expecting the jaws to close, the mauling to begin. But the eyes just kept staring at him.
"My name is Paul Manani," said the bearded man. "And our glorious leader, Governor Colin Rexhoo, has appointed me as Group 7's settlement supervisor. That means, Ivets, I own you, body and soul. And just to make my position absolutely clear from the start, I don't like Ivets. I think this world would be a better place without putrid pieces of crap like you screwing it up. But the LDC board has decided to lumber us with you, so I'm going to make bloody sure every franc's worth of your passage fee is squeezed out of you before your work time is up. So when I say lick shit, you lick. You eat what I give you to eat, and you wear what I give you to wear. And because you are lazy bastards by nature, there's going to be no such thing as a day off for the next 10 years. He squatted down beside Quinn and beamed broadly. "What's your name, dickhead?" Quinn Dexter.
Sir?
Poe's eyebrows lifted in appreciation.